Neither. Yasya, he of whom? Devaha, the demigods. Rishyaha, great sages. Padam, position. Vidahu, can understand. Jantuhu, unintelligent living beings, like animals. Punaha, again. Kaha, who? Arhati, is able. Gantum, to enter into the knowledge. Iratum, or to express by words. Yata, as. Natasha, of the artist. Akritibhi, by bodily features. Vichestataha, dancing in different ways. Durachya, very difficult. Anukramanaha, his movements. Saha, that supreme personality of Godhead. Ma, unto me. Avatu, may give his protection. The translation. An artist on stage, being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that supreme personality of Godhead give me protection. So you repeat, an artist on stage, being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of a supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages. And certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages, nor the unintelligent, can understand the features of the Lord. Nor can they express in words his actual position. May that supreme personality of Godhead give me protection. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A similar understanding was expressed by Kunti Devi. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere within and without. He even exists within the heart. Sarvasya Chaham Vridi Sani Vishto Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Videshe Arjuna Tishtati. Thus it is indicated that one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. There are many, many yogis trying to find him. Yana vastita tat gatena manasa pashanti yang yoganaha. Nevertheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints, and sages have been unable to understand the bodily features of that great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators like the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them, he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept the statements given by the Supreme when he kindly incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and follow in their footsteps. then it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. So janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. So in the Gita, the fourth chapter, text 9. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, one will immediately be delivered even within his material body. The material body will no longer have any function. Whatever activities take place with the body will be the activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one may give up his body and return home back to Godhead. So, Nayashadeva Krishna Padam Vidur. Chantupana korati gantumi ritum yathana tatsya kriti pir vicheshtato durajyanu kramana samabhatu. So, Om Aganati Madandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, first of all, we have to understand why these living entities being described here, demigods, sages, and unintelligent animal-like entities don't understand Krishna. And that's quite easy to understand, as Krishna says in the Gita, that yogamaya samavrita aham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudyam navajananti. So, in other words, I am not revealed to these people because I am covered by my eternal deluding potency. And here, of course, in that particular verse, mentioned is Yogamaya, and as we've mentioned many times before, Yogamaya expands as the Mahamaya in this material world. Mahamaya Durga. So Mahamaya Durga has these two potencies. She throws us into illusion and keeps us in illusion, and that she is Vaishnavi, she is a servant of Krishna, so that's her business. That's one reason. Another reason we can't understand, or people can't understand Krishna's pastimes, is that in order to understand anything, you have to have the approval of the Supersoul. As Krishna says in the Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 15, Matak Smritir Yanam Aponam Jasavarsha Chaham. Riddhi Sanavishto probably makes reference to that verse in this particular purport, that the Supreme Lord is situated, Riddhi Sanavishto, that means he's situated in the heart, and he's giving remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge to the living entity. So, of course, if the living entity is envious of Krishna, Krishna's not going to give him information about himself. I mean, that's common sense. For example, if someone doesn't like us and they ask some question, you know, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I mean, there was one email I just read this morning that there was one person who was challenging another member of the GBC, you know, give me this information. And the response of that particular member of the GBC was, when did you become my authority? It was an interesting response. Because the person was demanding some some confidential information that really wasn't the person's business. Just like if I go to the CIA and I demand some confidential information from the CIA and I don't have the proper qualifications, clearance, it's called, you know, for secret things, they'll say, you know, why do we have to listen to you? You know, we don't have to give you this information. So in the same way, Krishna is not going to reveal to someone the intimate aspects of his own self, his desires, his motivations, the purpose of his pastimes, to someone who's envious. Why should he do that? I mean, that's Krishna's psychology. So these are the reasons why, and also, avratam jnanametena jnanino nityabhairina kamarupena kantiya dushprena lenaja. One's intelligence is covered by lust. And you see this, I see this practically in dealing with people all the time, that when someone is covered by lust, kamesha, krodesha, rajaguna, samudva, lust, anger, greed, they lose their intelligence, their sense. Intelligence in this particular context means the sense of discrimination. What is right, what is wrong, what is in one's long-term interest, if one is covered like that by the lust, anger, or greed. So, and the modes of nature, you know, the modes of nature cover one's consciousness, pure consciousness. They color it. Consciousness is originally pure, but because it's colored, just like a white light is colored by different filters. If you've ever been in a theater, you've seen that they have these white lights and there's different gels, it's filters. They go in front of the white lights and then the white light becomes blue or green or red, but it's still the same white light. So these are different reasons why someone can't understand, not why, how, sorry, to be precise, how, the mechanism by how they cannot understand. And why also we explain, because Krishna doesn't want them to understand. Of course, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's described, Muyanti Yat Suryaha. So what don't they actually understand? I mean, they do read the Gita, obviously, not everyone. And they may understand, Vrchanaya Sadunam Vinishaya Shadushkutam. I come to annihilate the miscreants. I come to establish religious principles. I come to protect the devotees. But they don't really understand why Krishna comes, because as Prabhupada explains very explicitly in the Krishna book and also in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna, those aren't the let's say the esoteric reasons, the actual reasons for Krishna's appearance, because Prabhupada explains that the killing of demons, the annihilation, that is the annihilation of the demons, the protecting of the devotees, can all be taken care of by Krishna's energies. Like we mentioned in the last few verses, that Krishna has multifarious energies, and all these energies are first-class servants of Krishna. So if Krishna wants, he doesn't have to come here to protect you if you happen to be a devotee. He doesn't have to come here to annihilate the miscreants, because the miscreants are being annihilated by the time factor. The miscreants are being annihilated by or punished by Yamaraj. No, Krishna doesn't have to do that stuff. But the actual reason that Krishna does come down is what's called the esoteric reason. We see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has these esoteric reasons for all of his advents. And, you know, if you have to summarize what the esoteric reasons are, it's basically enjoyment. Because Krishna, being independent, doesn't have to come. Like, we have our esoteric reasons why we do certain things, and that's, we have some ulterior motive. Whereas Krishna, he comes because he just wants to have a good time, to enact different leelas or different pastimes and experience different emotions, different rasas. There's a difference between emotions and rasas. Emotions means like bhavas, different ecstatic emotions, and then rasa means like a taste, different tastes. Just like we may be eating something, we want to experience different tastes every day. According to the Ayurvedas, there's different tastes. You know, there's bitter, there's sweet, there's sour. There's all these different tastes. And so that's what makes life enjoyable. Like Prabhupada said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So without variety, you know, where's the enjoyment? So Krishna is the ultimate variegated enjoyer, or the ultimate person who enjoys the different varieties. So he comes down, and just to describe some of the different reasons he comes, let's take Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, which ostensibly he's coming down, you know, to preach the Sankirtan movement. That's true. But his esoteric reason is to understand. He wants to understand the love that Radharani has for him. He wants to see himself from her perspective as the ultimate egotist. And he wants to enjoy from Radharani's perspective, because Krishna understands that devotees, they have a certain taste that even God doesn't have, a certain rasa, a certain taste. And so he wants to be a devotee. So even God wants to be a devotee. So these are the what are described as the esoteric or primary reasons. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes these as the primary reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. And there's another reason too, which I'll give in a second. And then also you take Krishna's advent. Krishna, he wants to, as far as the killing of the demons, he wants to enjoy fighting with the demons. There's this particular rasa. There's chivalry. There's anger. There's ghastliness. These indirect, seven indirect rasas, which Krishna is the enjoyer of. I mean, all these different rasas that we have in this world, and the same ones, but are pervertedly reflected in this world, as described by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the banyan tree example, are reflected in the river. They're pervertedly reflected, but they're there in the spiritual realm, and Krishna has these desires to interact in those particular ways. So he has these indirect rasas. So this ghastliness, I mean, you read about the incarnation of Parashuram, for example. And, you know, Parashuram is creating, you know, lakes of blood, killing the Kshatriyas so many times. And then, of course, Krishna also, when he's, I mean, some of the things are pretty ghastly that Krishna does. For example, in the Rajasuya sacrifice, you have Shishupal there. And Shishupal is blaspheming Krishna, and Krishna just like chops off his head with a Sudarshana Chakra disc in the middle of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And that's pretty ghastly. I don't know if you've ever seen someone's head fly off or be chopped off. I mean, it's enough to make you nauseous. I mean, you know, I would just get very sick seeing such a thing. Isn't it? I mean, I saw it. I'd probably be traumatized for the next few years to see all the blood, you know, because when you chop someone's head off, it's just, you know, there's blood. So Krishna does that, you know, so he's enjoying all these indirect rasas and interacting with his devotees, you know, just playing. It's like an actor, as described by Queen Kunti, as Prabhupada makes reference to, an actor on a stage. He puts on different guises, even though the actor has one original body. The actor is actually putting on different clothes, different costumes. I mean, you can see, like if you ever watch a movie, Hollywood, Bollywood, or whatever, you'll see that there's one actor and he plays so many different roles. And the costume is able to transform his features. And so Krishna is the expert costumer. And of course, he has his devotees. But Krishna can manifest his spiritual body, the same spiritual body, in different ways. It's like when we were young, we used to see this, what's his name, Marcello Marceau, who was a mime. I don't know if any of you heard of him. And he was a mime. He would be on TV. And he didn't even use costumes. He could just like portray different things just by the facial features. You know what I'm talking about? No one's ever seen him. Anyway, this is what a mime. That means someone who's able to, doesn't even need costumes. He can just, so Krishna is able to portray different features, different even different species of life, because it says that Krishna appears in every species of life. You know, Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Narsingadev. I mean, all these different species of life. And he's still the same person. So he is... spiritual body manifests according to his mood. And then Krishna has, person who arranges the scenes. Of course, in Vrindavan, that's Brindadevi. And you have expansions of Brindadevi, you know, Mahamaya, Brindadevi, who arranged the scenario, Purnamasi, of course, in Braj pastimes, who arranges the whole paraphernalia, the weather, the trees, and everything, the scenery. So it's just like an actor on a stage. It's pretty wonderful. And Krishna's just enjoying the whole thing. So that's another reason, another esoteric reason why Krishna is enacting these different pastimes. And of course, the unintelligent can't understand this. They don't know the nature of God, of being the supreme enjoyer. I mean, in the West, the best they understand about God, it's really a basic, not even understanding, is that God is the order supplier. You know, dear God, give us this daily bread. As Prabhupada would often criticize that, that God is supplying everything, and so we should ask. He's like the big father in the sky. So, therefore, another reason is Krishna is doing all these things is to for our benefit. And Krishna comes down to enact these pastimes so that we can perceive these beautiful, wonderful, attractive features of the Lord and be attracted and be attracted and want to get out of this material world. Like, let's take a mundane actor. If a mundane actor never played any roles, nobody would know about him. I mean, how would he become famous and attractive? Just like I gave you the example that I had one mundane, that's not so mundane, he's sort of like a devotee, one Bollywood actor that I just met at Govardhan, you know, Akshay Kumar, and I gave him a Bhagavad Gita. He was very proud to get the Bhagavad Gita, put it on his Facebook page, and thousands or millions of people saw that he got Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, his picture of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita on Facebook. And so he's famous because he's done so many different roles. I mean, he's, you know, if you read about all the films, and of course I haven't watched them, all of them, but so many roles, and people like him because of the roles, and they're attracted to him, and they worship him. It's like when I was with him, he had all these paparazzi, you know, people with the cameras. Around, they had to have guards and everything to keep people from approaching. And the only way I could approach him was to have two young girls go to him. You know, the little girls can get away with anything. So that was the only way I could approach him, because he does all these, let's say, amazing roles from a material perspective. So Krishna does all these amazing roles. And so, you know, he's attractive like that, and you know, he should have paparazzis around him taking pictures of him. However, because Krishna is protected by his Yogamaya, Prabhupada explained, only a handful of people actually knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was on the earth. And even you had obvious displays of his power, and still people weren't convinced that he was God. You have like Duryodhana, and this is how powerful this Mahamaya is. The Duryodhana saw the universal form of Krishna. Duryodhana, of course, was attempting to capture Krishna because Krishna came as a peacemaker to the Kurus. Krishna explained the reason he did that was that he wouldn't be blamed later on for not trying his best to make peace. Still, Gandhari blamed him at the end and cursed him. But so Krishna went to try to make peace, and Duryodhana had this whole plan to capture Krishna. So he went to capture Krishna, and Krishna manifested this universal form that was, he was extremely bright, and it was obvious he was God. Yet Duryodhana, what did he think? He just thought, oh, just like some little mystic powers are there, we could still defeat him. Huh? I mean, that shows how strong the illusory potency of the Lord is. And similarly, people are given the evidence that God exists. I mean, just like if you look at what the scientists have discovered, the complexity of everything, the atom, the cell. I mean, there's so much evidence that God exists, scientific, mathematical evidence, yet still they don't accept it. It's amazing. And that's how strong Krishna's illusory potency is. And people are thinking they're the body. I mean, it's just like incredible. People are falling in love. It's incredible. Huh? I mean, it's like a hypnotist convincing people, like a hypnotist goes on the stage and convinces someone they're a dog or a cat. And they began to bark or to meow. And Krishna's illusory potency, saying, Mama Maya Dharachiya, Mama Eva Ye Prapajante, Daivyeshu Gunamayim. This material potency of Krishna is so strong and impossible to overcome, but Mama Eva Ye Prapajante, Ayamatam Purant. So if one surrenders to Krishna, then one can overcome it. So that's the point. Then one can begin to understand these things only Bhaktimam Abhijanati, Yavanyas Jasmi, Tatvatat, the same thing. One can understand the truth only by being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And just one final thing that Prabhupada says in the purport I found quite interesting at the end. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, that means by the Lord's grace one can understand the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yanamam Yavatite. One will immediately be delivered even within this material body. Wow. The material body will no longer have any function. Whatever activities take place with the body will be activities of Krishna. In other words, no longer any material function. And the way one may give up his body and return home back to God, I want to explain that. The way a pure devotee gives up the body and goes back to Godhead is, there's some description. Oh, yeah, I remember the story about the Dichi Muni. The Dichi Muni was approached by Indra to basically give up his body and to give his bones to become a weapon so that Indra could attack this Ritrasura, who was actually a devotee. But anyway, so the Dichi Muni was approached by Indra. First he joked a little bit, but then he said, all right, take my bones. But it's described when he gave up his body, he didn't even notice he was giving up his body. I mean, it's described in the Bhagavatam. It's just like, oh, okay. It's just like, you know, just like you take off, like Bhagavad Gita describes, like taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. It's just like, you know, I took off this sweatshirt this morning. I basically don't even remember. It just happened. You know, took it off automatically because it was too hot. And that's how a pure devotee experiences death. There's no loss. Prabhupada explains there's no loss of consciousness at the time of death. That's amazing. I mean, right now, of course, we're losing consciousness when we go to sleep. Or Chintamani is losing consciousness in Bhagavatam class. So, sorry about that. So, can you imagine that? I mean, there's no loss of consciousness. Just like you don't even notice you just gave up the body. You know, like a snake gives up his skin as a snake is growing. So that's what happens when one understands the Janma Karma Chalme Divya. One understands the appearance and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, life becomes easy then. And you just like give up this body. It's like you throw off the skin or a sweatshirt. I mean, I wasn't traumatized by taking off the sweatshirt this morning. It's not that I was just, oh my God. My sweatshirt's off. What am I going to do? That's how your devotee experiences. It says one may give up his body and return back to home, back to Godhead. Of course, Prabhupada also indicates that he's already back to Godhead. That's called Jivan Mukta. By the previous sentence, the material body will no longer have any function. Whatever activities take place with the body will be the activities of Krishna Hunt. In other words, he's already back to Godhead, Jivan Mukta, even in this same body. All right, so these are some of the points. So any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left to class. Questions, comments,
arguments? So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they also did not completely understand this.
Yeah. Yes. The reason is so that they can enjoy with Krishna. Like a little child playing with his father, who happens to be the president of the United States. Prabhupada used the example how Kennedy was playing with little John was his kid. And some ambassador was waiting outside, or some big dignitary is waiting outside. He's wondering why I have to wait so long. And then he peeked in and he saw that he was playing. So the little child is not understanding my father is president. You know, it's just like, it's not consequential, it's not important to the relationship. And it would interfere with the relationship. So therefore, yes, the residents of Vrindavan are not understanding, but they are understanding that their business is to give Krishna's enjoyment. So that Krishna to give Krishna enjoyment, and they understand Krishna as the enjoyer. So ultimately, they do understand Krishna. Even though they may not know he's God, but that's a secondary thing. Krishna being God is secondary. But primary is Krishna's the enjoyer, and that they understand. So they really understand Krishna's psychology. In one sense, you could say they do understand. Okay, on that happy note, time to greet the deities. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We've got a lot of people. Shika Singh, Rishikesh, Cyrus Dave, Vinod, Quinomani, Sahesh Dave, Elena. So many nice devotees joining us this morning. We're going to see the deities now. All glories of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki,